hear me?
Yes.
All right. Good morning, everyone. This is going to be an interesting challenge. All right. So the first... the first reading is from the Hebrew Scripture. It's Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 to 31. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind." And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all creeping things that creep on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had done, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Okay, thank you. And from the Christian scriptures, Matthew chapter 23, verses 37 through chapter 24, verses 8. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to him to point out the temple buildings to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which is not torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered, said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, but those things must take place, and that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But these things are merely the beginning of birth pains."
Friends, as was on Tuesday, we watched a live broadcast of a webinar. For those of you who aren't familiar, web, of course, comes from World Wide Web, and anar is a seminar. So we sat and we watched a webinar broadcast live. It was sponsored by the United Church of Christ and by our national office. So congregations, members of our church, from all across the continent, and in fact all across the world, was able to together attend this seminar on the environment and on climate change and ecocide that we are committing. We also rebroadcasted on Thursday that recorded webinar for more members of our congregation, and many of you were there on Thursday night. Now we're just making the circle bigger, and we're just going to show you 1.5 minutes, which is the conclusion of that webinar. We didn't want to leave you out, so we're sharing it with you.
Why do we care about changing climate? I want to close with 3 reasons. First, we care because it takes the risks we already face in the places where we live today and it exacerbates them or amplifies them, and this is what the National Climate Assessment talks about in detail. But second, we care about it because it profoundly affects real people today, especially the poorest and vulnerable in our own communities right here in North America, as well as around the world, the very people who have done the least to contribute to the problem. And so climate change is a profoundly unjust issue. In fact, a recent study that just came out showed that climate change is making the very richest people in the world currently richer, and it is making all the poorest people in the world poorer. It is the largest injustice of our generation. But then the third reason why we care is because we believe that God has given us responsibility for the welfare of every living thing. And this comes right out of Genesis 1. So I want to leave you with this thought. Whoever we are, whatever we care about, wherever we live, we are already the perfect person to care about changing climate. Because to care about changing climate, we just have to be a human who lives on this earth, who cares for and has a heart and has compassion for all the others who share with us. Thank you.
Thinking about preaching down there, since my microphone here isn't working. I have my lapel mic on, though. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Maybe I'll stay here and just use my lapel mic. Well, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers in our faith community. I pray that if you are able, you have or will today express in some way, via a card or a letter or a telephone or even a goofy emoji, happy Mother's Day to a special woman who dedicates much of her life to others. There are all sorts of snarky cards out there. If you're looking for a particularly cheeky Mother's Day card, there's a whole bunch right here across the street in the Wyndham Flowers. I found a card that even included a whole joke, a bit of humor, that I believed fit quite perfectly with our scripture reading this morning, our focus on science, and the environment, and the oft-demonstrated superiority of women over men. It included everything, so I thought, this is perfect. A little girl asked her mom, "How did the human race appear?" Mom answered, "God made Adam and Eve, and they had children. And so all of humankind was made." 2 days later, the girl asked her dad the same question. Dad answered, "Many years ago, there were primates from which the human race evolved." The confused girl returned to her mom and said, "Mom, how is it possible that you told me the human race was created by God, and Dad said that they developed from primates?" And the mother answered, "Well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and your father told you about his." I couldn't resist for Mother's Day. I do pray that all of you have a happy Mother's Day. At Center Congregational Church, we will do much to celebrate this day, but we do so realizing that for most, rather than just a few, Mother's Day can be full of mixed feelings and even great melancholy. For many, our mothers who recently died, or we have ached for their presence for many years. For others, not having children is especially painful and difficult. I know many very good mothers who, for one reason or another, are estranged from their children. And this makes this time of year difficult. Still others grieve their motherhood due to their children's substance abuse, mental illness, or just plain vast distances. Whether you have reason to express joy or profound sadness today, I pray that in the gospel message and in the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ, that for which you feel joy is affirmed, and that for which you agonize is soothed. Happy Mother's Day. Today, for Mother's Day, we combine themes of the environment as a sacred creation and Mother's Day by focusing on, we heard it, what else? That's right, Mother Earth. You can see on your bulletin cover, in fact, you can refer to it now, that there are many clever memes, is that what they are? Memes that recognize Mother Earth. From the commandments, we have love your mother. From politics, we have I'm with her. A common adage, respect your mother. And a post-it note, clean up your mess. Love mother. Last week, we spoke of cosmocentric Christianity, one that focuses on Earth's salvation, as opposed to anthropocentric or human-centered Christianity. And as we celebrate Mother's Day and God's creation, I think the concept of Mother Earth is instructive. Lisa asked a question, and I'm very pleased, in her children's sermon, where does this concept of Mother Earth come from? Well, while Mother Earth is a Greco-Roman and not a Christian concept per se, Christianity includes all kinds of wisdom from many faith traditions. For example, elements of Zoroastrianism, Judaism, Gnosticism, and Greek thought are all found in Christianity. And in Greco-Roman thought, Mother Earth is the personification, or the, here's a mouthful, the anthropomorphization of nature that focuses on the life-giving and nurturing aspects of nature by embodying it in the form of the mother. In short, we call the earth Mother Earth because she gives life. And it is not so far stretch of the imagination to conclude that the commandment, honor your mother, includes then the earth. Just as it is logical to understand the earth as a woman or a mother, so it is important to understand God as a woman and as a mother. Do you think it's strange? I do not at all. In fact, for me, the concept of God as male is almost counterintuitive. I have never born myself, nor delivered life, nor have I sustained life with my own body. I do have breasts, but they have never, not once, lactated, much to my disappointment. If it is God who bears life and sustains it, it seems to me more appropriate to view God as female than male. If you think I'm heretical or new agey to suggest this, you would misjudge me. I'm a preacher of the gospel, and the gospel I preach is biblical. The concept of God as female is actually far more common than you might suspect in our scriptures. First, in our scripture this morning, God is created in the image of male and female. Quote, in the divine image, God created them. Unquote. In Deuteronomy, God is described as a mother eagle. Also in Deuteronomy, it is God who gives birth. The prophet Isaiah describes God as a comforting mother. And, speaking of lactation, a mother who nurses her child. Perhaps Isaiah is where Paul engendered last week's scripture, if you remember it. When Isaiah describes God as a woman who is in labor, God said, quote, for a long time I've held my peace. I've kept myself still and restrained myself. But now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. The psalmist also saw God as a mother who weans him. In Hosea, God is described as mother. Quote, I taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up in my arms. I healed them. I led them with bands of love. I was like those who lift infants to their cheeks and fed them. These feminine images of God are also in the Christian scriptures, many of them. The reading Sue gave to us envisions God not just as female, but also as a chicken, a hen. Indeed, Luke understood God to be a woman who is looking for her lost coin. Friends, this morning, we wed the concepts of God as exhibiting feminine and even maternal characteristics to the earth as we pay homage to Mother Earth. Let us also pause to contemplate the degree to which we are not honoring our Mother God through our destruction of the earth and the plundering of her resources for our own insatiable desires. You saw just a clip before I began speaking. In a United Church of Christ-sponsored webinar on Tuesday, which we rebroadcasted on Thursday, we learned that in the year 1900, that was about 120 years ago, humans produced about 0.5 gigaton of carbon. Today, 7+ billion people, we produce 10 gigaton of carbon. This amount of carbon produced has not happened in 100 million years. Yet, in only about 100, we've gone from 0.5 to 10. During that time, the average global temperature has increased by 2 degrees. We also learned on Tuesday and Thursday, in 80 years' time, depending on our response in the next 10 years, and here I'm referring to the Paris Climate Accord, the temperature increase will be anywhere from 2.6 to 8.5 degrees in 80 years' time, depending on how we respond in the next 10 years. We also learned on Tuesday and Thursday that the carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere has now surpassed 400 parts per million. And the last time this occurred was 15 million years ago. And that was when there was not 7 billion human beings producing carbon emissions. Friends, these statistics reveal that we are devastating the plant, the animal, and human life on Earth. NBC News recently reported a sweeping report assessing the state of the natural world found that human beings are having an unprecedented and devastating effect on global biodiversity. Many of you may have heard about this in the news in the past week or two. There's about 1 million animal and plant species now threatened with extinction. I, having lived in Southern Africa for just 25 years, have witnessed in my own children's lifetime the rhino population almost entirely wiped out. A summary of the report's findings was released on Monday by the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, which was established in 2012 by the United Nations Environmental Program and includes representatives from 132 countries. Robert Watson, the panel's chair and professor of environmental sciences of the University of East Anglia in the UK, said evidence collected over the past 5 decades from roughly 15,000 scientific and government studies paints an ominous picture. And this is the only doom and gloom I present in these 4 weeks of this sermon series. But quote, the health of the ecosystems on which we and other species depend is deteriorating more rapidly than ever. We are eroding the very foundations of our economies, our livelihoods, food security, health, and the quality of life worldwide. Friends, this morning I have only highlighted one atmospheric study and one plant and animal biodiversity study. But the scientific evidence is clear. We have little or no time to act. This Mother's Day, honor those women who, biological or not, have been beautiful maternal figures in your lives. Let us also contemplate the degree to which we have not honored Mother Earth. Let us repent and change direction, making the climate and the earth the foremost issue of our Christian lives. And I say Christian lives. To honor Mother Earth is neither secular nor liberal nor New Age. To respect and honor the planet is profoundly scientific and perhaps even more importantly, profoundly biblical. And if we are to be harbingers of the gospel, we must act so as to deliver good news to our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. This is the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded,
Amen. Amen.